now, stay tuned for Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, a fun and informative green talk radio show that features guests from all over the country who talk about how living green can improve your lifestyle and be fun. Visit Mrs. Green's website, www.mrsgreenworld.com, for more information about her guests.
Been listening from the very beginning. Thank you. But I went to see that movie, and it was one of those, The Rude Awakenings of Mrs. Green, and I sat there with my mouth open saying, are you kidding me right now? So the movie is picking up steam. It recently won the Spirit of Independence Award at the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival in November. It's going international. It's a great film, and I think you'll either be shocked or validated by what Scott has to share with us. It's just going to be another great, fun show. And when I looked at my traffic and saw that he was going to be on, I'm like, cha-ching, perfect. It's so good relative to everything that's going on with the oil spill and what's happening. So our sponsors for Mrs. Green this week are Chapman and the Fairfax Companies. And talking about fuel-efficient vehicles, Chapman is definitely the leader in Tucson for the cars that are represented in their dealerships for fuel-efficient vehicles. They are cutting edge. Things are doing well. I almost lost a girlfriend last week. Only kidding. I hope she's listening. She's one of my BFFs, and her name is Susan. And we talked about when she test drove the Honda Insight and how it does get warm at the stoplights. And truth be told, this week, my Insight got a little bit warm at the red lights. It's cool in the beginning, but I want to tell you, if you are getting an Insight, expect to be just a little bit warm at the red lights if you are sitting at a long one. So, Susan, I love you, baby, and you're right. And I hope you're enjoying your Honda Civics. And the Fairfax Companies, just remember that there is really no such thing as waste to them. They really do take every scrap of post-construction waste that you bring to them. They take everything that you do for your landscaping waste, and they make something out of it. They make green waste. They make composting. You name it. Locally owned. Wonderful. Okay, now I want to talk to you about something fun tonight at the Hotel Congress. It's the night of New Orleans. And the tickets are only $5. The fun starts at about 3 o'clock. They're going to have a lot of wonderful music entertainment. And the money goes for the ticket sales to Opening Minds Through the Arts. It's called OMA. It's one of a program that I'm very familiar with. My friend Carol Reinhardt started it, and he's wonderful. And this program brings operas to schools, and they will adopt a school, and they will get kids involved in every aspect of production and singing and what it takes, and get them really interested in the arts. They do it on a shoestring, so all of the proceeds from the ticket sales go to that. But we're having a raffle, and the raffle prizes are awesome. We're going to have things from Maynard's, things from the Hotel Congress, some Mrs. Green treasures, and I mean really nice stuff from Mrs. Green's world. We are going to have all of the money from the raffle tickets go to the Nature Conservancy. And Mrs. Green's team took a lot of time to decide how we would get involved as an effort here in Tucson and hopefully around the country to just do something. 75% of people will probably just fret and be sad and read the paper and say, hell, that's awful. We'll be one of the people that does something. And I really would love it if you donated through my website. It's a direct link to the Nature Conservancy. So whether you do that or find your favorite charity or your favorite movement, we pick the Nature Conservancy because they're global, because they will be here for a long time. They will be on the scene. Their scientists will be doing research for things that can be done for the Gulf oil spill, which is far-reaching. I mean, I can't be Pollyanna about this. The damage is devastating. It continues to pour out. And to me, I'm not interested in playing the blame game. It's the I want to be in the what we can do about it. So my website has a great, beautiful banner ad up there. You go to MrsGreensWorld.com, click right through. I did my donation this morning because I'm saying, okay, I'm asking everybody else to do this. Mrs. Green better do it. So I did it. And then I want to give an update on Arizona Party Rentals. Last week I told you that we were going to do an all-green, almost all-green party, and we had one bag of trash. That's the official tally. So thank you to Arizona Party Rentals. We did have a lot to recycle. And the one thing that I have not found the solution to, which hopefully my friend Leda, if she's listening, is going to help me out with, is cocktail napkins. Little cocktail napkins that you serve with a glass of water or wine. You cannot find cloth ones. If anybody knows, email Gina at Mrs. Green's World, and I would love to find out. But my friend Leda said she'd sew some up for me so that I could go 100% rental or reusing for my parties. It was really fun. It became kind of a game. So that's really good news. And then I want to do a shout out for a man emailed me today. I don't know if he's listening, but he wrote a book that I've read some of, not all of, because I'm always reading about 8 books at a time. But I met him, I believe, at the Arizona Green Chamber, the Southern Arizona Green Chamber launch. And his name is Philip Green, and he's a wonderful human being. I could tell just by the little conversation I have with him. He graduated from the University of Illinois. He's a retired architect, and he wrote a book called Running on Empty. And to me, some of the timeliness of all of this is incredible in Mrs. Green's world, because I read this book long before the oil spill, and he said that he might call in today to just give a little comment. But the book is about understanding and surviving the energy crisis. And to me, some of these people were like, they were fortune tellers. They saw it before it was coming. They knew a long time ago. And now, hopefully, we're all believing something good will come out of this. And how could I be Mrs. Green and not talk about it? So Robert, Philip Green, great name there, but he spells it with an E. I've got to do something about that. Said he was going to call in and maybe just share a couple of comments about what his book is about. And it's very insightful. It's talking about what are the scoops, the government's role, knowing the things about the sun and the challenges with solar. Just a great overall book. So do we have him on the line, Stephen? Philip, great. I'm glad. Thank you for calling in to Mrs. Green.
Hi, Gina. How are you?
Great. How are you? Thank you for listening and for your email. And do you want to talk about the content of the email, what an opportunity there is for us?
Yes. Actually, Barack Obama, in his speech on Thursday, referred to the fact that this should be a signal for us to really start developing alternatives to oil.
And moved it up on the agenda, hopefully.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's a chance to put the new energy bill to the forefront.
And I think that there's a lot to be said for this. A lot of it is the blame game, but some of the high roads are, the people that I call are going on the high road are not making it the blame game, blaming Obama for not being responsive quickly enough, blaming Bush because he didn't have policies. And I'm thinking, let's go back and can we figure out how to blame? Like, let's go back to Adam and Eve.
Well, if you want to really blame, go back to 1973 when we had our first oil crisis.
And nothing was learned. And do you agree with me that this one is so far more devastating and on our shores that we'll pay more attention, I hope?
It's double the amount of oil that's being spent. It was spilled by Exxon Valdez, and unfortunately, they have never really cleaned it up.
No, they have never cleaned it up. So we are going to have to go to break. I want to let everybody know that I have posted information about your book on my blog.
Much appreciated.
Running on Empty, and much appreciated that you wrote it. So thanks for calling in. I hope you'll listen to the rest of the show and call in if you have questions of Scott.
I shall.
Okay, News Talk 790, KNST. Stay tuned. We're going to be interviewing Scott Roberts from Gashole the Movie. Thanks for tuning in. Back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST. We are live streaming on the internet at www.knst.com as well. I thank you so much for tuning in today. Thank you so much to Philip Green for calling in and for listening and for his very contemplative email that he sent and his response on my blog. So I am very excited about the timeliness of this guest, Scott Roberts. I have met Scott because I went to the movie when it came here almost 2 years ago, Scott. Is that right?
Yeah, it's been 2 years, you were instrumental in bringing a lot of people out to the Fox. I really appreciated that.
Yeah, well, you know what? I hope Tucson is growing, and we would love to have you come back and fill the theater. I think now with, like you, we just talked a little bit off air 5 minutes ago, and it's unfortunate that the steam for the movie, so to speak, no pun intended, is picking up, because it's I the word fortune teller comes to mind. I don't want it to be woo-woo, but there are a lot of you writing about the potential for what could happen. But let's start about your movie. It's Gas Hole, the movie, and I will never forget it, because this is all of the awakening of Mrs. Green, watching that movie and seeing, first of all, one of the men that was in it came to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's just your next-door neighbor. I said, this man is an older man, has absolutely no investment in telling anything but the truth. And I sat there for the whole entire time with my mouth open saying, oh, my gosh, I had no idea.
Well, that's one of the things about the movie when Jeremy and I made it, is we didn't want to take a position of left or right. We really tried to stay down the middle.
And you did.
And thank you. That was a big goal of ours, because we didn't want to get pigeonholed as, oh, they're just left-wing extremists.
Tree huggers. Oh. I know. Nope.
And so... We really, when we were looking for stories of people who knew of or were directly involved with inventing or witnessing technology that would vastly improve fuel economy, we wanted to find the people next door. We wanted to find the people that you know, could come off as your dad or your uncle or your grandfather.
And they did.
Yeah, and that was, you know, we looked a long time and we found the right people. And the stories, like you said, they're shocking. It's frightening. And, you know, unfortunately, or fortunately for Jeremy and I, it seems the longer the movie has been done and the process to get it to the screen and to DVD, there always seems to be something that comes up that makes it pertinent.
That moves it a little bit more forward. I mean, it's spinning. It's spinning now. That's what I'd say. It's so pertinent. But I think what we should do, since I've seen it and since you are one of the people that made it, why don't you share with people a little bit, A, how the film came to you, the idea for the film came to you, and then B, what it's about, because not everybody's seen it.
Sure. Well, it's been, believe it or not, about a 5-year journey now.
Oh, my gosh. Labor of love, I'm sure. Yeah.
And actually, it all started with a letter to the editor in one of the newspapers in Northern California, written by a gentleman who, you know, back in the 40s, used to go to an airfield and drag race cars.
Right.
And, you know, somebody pulled up in a 1946 Buick Roadmaster and popped the hood and was sharing with the guys this water-injected carburetor that he had invented, and he was claiming to get over 100 miles per gallon, and that Shell had bought the patent from him, but he could keep the ones on the cars that he had, and it made him a millionaire. And so after reading that, I thought, wow, that's interesting. And Jeremy and I really, this was our first documentary, and we never even thought about making a documentary, but we looked into it and found the guy who wrote the letter, and just a fascinating story. And really, the film takes a look at the history of oil and the future of alternative fuels. And we do that by taking a look at three stories of technology that existed, that we documented existed. And
unquestionably, I mean, I have to interject that. It wasn't like you came up with some conspiracy theory.
No.
Had people go on record that were part of it.
Yeah. And
you did.
It's appalling to think that decades and decades have gone by and that technology's been sitting there and not utilized.
Well, and hidden or destroyed or missing in action. I mean, it's sitting somewhere.
It's sitting somewhere, exactly. And so we start off with sharing some stories. And Jeremy and I are not conspiracy theorists, and we'd be the first ones to roll our eyes at some of these stories if we didn't hear it from them.
That's right, from the person that actually it
right.
happened to them.
And doing our research and looking into it, and then finally even finding, you know, Shell Oil's head scientist who is in London, who wrote a book for Shell Oil documenting their progress in fuel economy over the decades, and he substantiated so much of it and even told us more.
And he really didn't care. He was quite, in my opinion, well, he was a little cavalier. Is that fair to say? It's like, yeah,
oh,
this
absolutely.
Is the truth.
He was so flippant.
He was flippant. Yeah, we did that.
Yeah, we did that. And then, you know, we stopped doing it because we, you know, it came around the 1973 oil crisis, and Shell wanted us to stop because it would be bad press for people to know that we were getting 1,000 miles per gallon. So.
It's like, okay, it blows me away. Tell the story about, I'm always interested in this because I'm sitting there. My husband is from Deming, New Mexico.
Right.
And the car, one of the first things in the story is that a car goes from El Paso, Texas to Deming, New Mexico. Was it 3 gallons of gas?
It was 2 gallons.
It was 2 gallons of gas. No joke. And that's about, what, 100 miles? Is it 110 or?
Yeah, round trip, I think, was 205 miles.
Okay.
And they made it on 2 gallons, and they did it in, you know, it wasn't in, you know, the cars that we know today that are much lighter. It was in a 1970 Ford Galaxy. And, you know, it wasn't something that someone did and then said, hey, guess what I did? He had the newspapers there, the El Paso Times documented it.
Right. People followed him?
Oh, yeah, they followed him. We had one of the guys in our movies was actually rode in the car with him. And was telling the story. And it's one of those things where it was a young inventor. He was in his early 20s. And all the oil companies came to him and were just throwing money at him. And he said, no, I'm not going to sell it. I want to bring it to market. And I want to see people benefit from this. And ultimately, he died rather young, mysteriously. And no one has seen it. It was the Oglemobile.
And that really, like, so he died mysteriously. We don't want to gloss over that because then there's a man who's interviewed in the movie.
Right.
And he had another invention, and he's there. He's there in the theater. And this, like, this, I'm like, dude, he's right there. He's telling us the story of what happened to him.
Right.
So he was smarter. He got out.
Well, yeah, he'd read about Tom Ogle, the gentleman that had invented it first. And he, you know, this gentleman was an award-winning mechanical engineer for the airlines. And so he took what he could from the articles about the Oglemobile and tried to make his own contraption and was getting very successful. The problem was he called the press and told them about it and told them he was going to do a test run and he wanted them to document it. And then things started getting very creepy for him. He felt like he was being followed. He was getting phone calls. People were approaching him that he didn't know, telling him, you know, did you hear about that guy? They found him dead in the desert.
Right, right.
And so he stopped. He walked out. He put everything in the trash, and that was it.
And he said, I'd rather live, and he still is.
He still is.
I hope he's listening today.
Yeah.
I really do. Well, what happened to the water-injected carburetor? Like, where is it?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. But
nobody knows. A company gave Tom Ogle a lot of money, and it was actually the principle was it was a vapor carburetor. It really utilized the vapor in the fuel.
Oh my gosh.
A company out of Seattle actually bought the patent and were going to help him bring it to market. I'm speaking about Tom Ogle.
Right, right, right.
And after his death, all of a sudden, the company put out press releases saying that it didn't work and they weren't doing anything with it anymore.
How weird is that? I mean,
yeah, and actually, I mean, President Carter had his energy people out there to check it out. And, you know, they're quoted in the El Paso Times as saying, wow, this is amazing and it's not a fluke. We checked it out. And then when they went back to Washington, D.C. and reported on it, all of a sudden it was, the story was put out that, well, it probably doesn't work. And, you know, it's not something we should look at.
Right. It just goes back to, I mean, the part where I want to get back to in every story that I follow is about where does this chain lead us? And a lot of times it leads us to greed and earnings per share and money. And BP, to me, is a perfect example of that. I don't have any problem whatsoever bashing BP. Right. So we're going to go to a quick break. We have lots more questions.
Because you never know what'll happen next. News Talk 790, KNST.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790, KNST. Happy Saturday. Thank you so much for tuning in, especially for this incredible guest and the incredible timeliness of it. It's Scott Roberts, and he is one of the directors of the film Gashole, the movie, and I have lots of questions. What I want to do, and I've been reminded of this in emails, on my Facebook, the number to call, 520-880-5678. If you have questions of Scott or of Mrs. Green, 880-5678, that's 880-5678. Area code 520. So call in. Scott will be happy to try to answer your questions, as will I. So, Scott, let's talk a little bit about Shell Oil. If you're a producer of Gashole, the movie, you know a lot.
Well, there was an interesting situation in Southern California in a town in Bakersfield where Shell Oil was trying to close down their refinery. And they put out all these documents saying that it was it wasn't profitable, it wasn't really producing what they needed, and it was just an inconvenience to them, and they were losing money. And they wanted to shut it down. And Barbara Boxer enlisted the help of the Attorney General, and they really looked into it. And there's actually a scene in the movie where, you know, she's really going after John Hofmeister, who was then the president of Shell. And they found that it was Shell's most profitable refinery.
Truth. That was the truth.
That was the truth.
Yes.
Documented that it was pumping out exactly what they thought and maybe even more.
So operating efficiently.
And basically she said, you guys want to shut it down so that you can control the supply and you can charge more. It's simple as that. And Shell's response was, hey, we really appreciate you finding that out for us. I guess we'll just sell it to someone. And there were no repercussions. They got caught with their hand in the cookie jar. And their response was, well, thank you so much for helping us figure that out.
And goodbye.
And goodbye. We appreciate it.
Thank you and goodbye. We figured that out, and we still are going to make billions of dollars.
Right.
And we're talking billions of dollars.
It was crazy. And a lot of these hearings and a lot of things that go on, you know, they're right on C-SPAN. Just a lot of people don't take the time and follow these issues.
So what about Philip Green, the author of Running on Empty, is on. He did call back. Mm-hmm. So I think, does he have a question for us, Stephen? Can you put him on air? Philip, thanks for calling back. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I wonder if Scott and Jeremy were familiar with Who Killed the Electric Car?
I am sure they are, and I hope Scott is listening because he got cut off. We're not sure what happened, but we'll get him back on.
Well, that's a film. It's a documentary film available on Sony Classics, and it's about the electric car that was developed by General Motors and tested in California. And they weren't sold. They were just leased to the people who drove them. The people loved them. And yet they took the car and actually sold the rights to it to oil companies, and all of the cars were collected and taken out to the Arizona desert and crushed.
Okay, so we're going to have to hang up on you because there's some kind of technical difficulties.
Okay.
So I will ask the question of Scott, and thanks for hanging in there with us. It's what we do in radio, right? We just go with the flow. So Scott, are you back on where you can hear us?
I'm back. I think Shell cut my phone line.
I think they did. I think they were listening and somebody did that. I love that you said that. So basically, Philip's question was, another movie that I loved is Who Killed the Electric Car?
Uh-huh.
And that was one of those movies, again, I saw it after I saw yours, where they made all these electric cars. People loved them. They didn't want to give them back. And they took them back and crushed them.
Yeah.
So he wanted to know if you were familiar with that, and I said, I am sure you were. So
we absolutely are. And
it just supports your whole premise.
Absolutely. And we had our own run-in with General Motors. So, you know, we not only were we telling these people stories, but just in making the film, we had our own run-ins.
Right, right.
So,
and so to me, these movies are just, like I said, they were just harbingers of things to come, and they're not really depressing. They're about hope. To
right.
me, your movie is not depressing. It's an eye-opener. It means that we can do some things. It means that there is a future here for us in the cars. Now, two comment questions I have. One
sure.
is, you talked about the, I would call it the nonpartisan nature of your film, because there are no heroes in the political arena in terms of presidents that really led the charge to develop this. Is it up to and including our current president? Would you agree with that?
Oh, I completely agree. And our film opens with presidents going back to Ford, who are addressing, you know, the State of the Union and saying, we need to be less dependent on foreign oil and we need to come up with a plan. And it doesn't matter if there's an R or a D next to their name. It seems to be the same talk and no action. Even, you know, look at our current president who ran against McCain, and McCain was for offshore drilling, and President Obama was against it. And then 6 months after he's elected, he pledges almost $10 billion from us to a Brazilian company called Petrobras to drill offshore in Brazil. And, you know, if that's a way that you want to bring more oil to us, is one thing, but basically all that oil that they're going to drill is going to go to China.
So why wouldn't it make sense now? I mean, that is, to me, like, you have to, like, take a deep breath when you even hear that. It's
mm-hmm.
it's so awful to me. We talk about, that's one of my favorite words, it's so awful. So switching back to America, where mm-hmm. we say now in our words, let's find alternative fuel vehicles, what is the American consumer's reluctance to embrace alternatives?
Well, I think, unfortunately, you have more people that know more about the contestants on American Idol than they do their own representatives.
That is absolutely true.
And,
oh, my God.
You know,
not me, I promise.
No, not me either. But, you know, people... And it's also a sign of the times. People are working two jobs. People are worried about health care. People are worried about education. There's so much on everyone's plate right now. And I think there's also people are frustrated. They don't know what they can do. And, you know, they've voted a certain way for so long and they don't see anything changing. I think a lot of people just throw their hands up and say, there's really nothing I can do about it. I mean, there's so much money. It comes from the oil industry into Washington, D.C., and we've heard it from the politicians we've spoken to who said, if you're not standing on a position that's going to benefit the oil companies, they are going to spend money on your opponent to get you out.
It just, you know, it just, to just say that it makes me sick is just a ridiculous thing to say.
Yeah,
so,
well, even in the film, there's a scene where, you know, they bring the refinery people in front of Congress for a hearing. And the people that are the head of that committee that are supposed to be policing the industry from us, Joe Barton and Sam Hall, they've taken the most money from oil and gas of anyone.
It was laughable. And they were stumbling over their words, and it was just, it was so sad. And this is not stuff that you staged. This is live footage. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Talk about caught with the hand in the cookie jar.
Absolutely.
And it just makes me discouraged in terms of a hope for a brighter future and making changes. Now, I do want to say one thing. The electric car movement seems to be catching on more. I mean,
right.
I think that there is, and compressed natural gas. What's your view on compressed natural gas as an alternative fuel and its viability in terms of any percentage of the market share?
Right. Well, I think CNG is very viable. I think with any of the alternative fuels, it's distribution, it's accessibility.
I know. There's that, like, for me, there's that fear in the back of my mind. Like, what if I wanted to drive to Phoenix,
right,
and I had a compressed natural gas car and I ran out? Where would I go?
Exactly.
So until it's readily available, but it's such an affordable commodity if we can figure out the distribution. That's what my husband says. He goes,
right.
If we figure out how to get it, we'll be doing it.
Yeah, because we teamed up with a company out of Florida called Wise Gas, Inc.
Right.
And they actually, their main focus is CNG, but they also support other alternative fuels. and they're trying to open stations in Florida, and to talk to them and hear the hoops they have to jump through to get permits.
You know, doesn't it crack you up? Because one of the things that people like to talk about is that it's, well, oh, gosh, compressed natural gas, it's so dangerous. Gasoline, hello, thank you very much.
Exactly.
Put gas in your car, but not compressed natural gas.
Exactly. The argument's ridiculous.
It is. It has absolutely no basis in fact, and I didn't know that before I was Mrs. Green. I admit it. I had a research.
Right.
I'm like, oh, that sounds like an accident waiting to happen.
Exactly.
Well, that's what your gas tank is.
Of course.
So there's just that kind of fear, and I think from what I've heard, knowing about the compressed natural gas Civic, it's safer.
Right.
I would say it's safer. Than the car that I drive. I feel so noble driving a hybrid.
You got to get that plug in for yourself.
It feels really good. I know. That's coming in the future. So we are going to go to a very quick break. And when we come back, I'd like to talk to you about a really controversial issue, which is ethanol, and then where your film's going to be premiering, what's next. Okay, so stay tuned. Scott Roberts from film Gas Hold the Movie. We'll be right back. I've made up my mind. Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST. Please consider visiting my website, Mrs. Green's World. There's lots of fun stuff going on all over the world, and I try to keep it really up to date. If you're a Facebook person, go to Mrs. Green and become a fan on Facebook. I really put a lot of information out there about Gas Hole, the movie, because it's something that is one of... So, okay, let's get Philip off. Okay. All right, we're trying to work on this, and there's technical difficulty. Scott, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, let's make the most of this. You have an opinion about ethanol as a viable alternative, especially corn. I mean, ethanol is, and what's your read on it? My friend Colleen is out of town, so she won't be hearing this, but we really disagree.
Yeah.
So what is your take on ethanol as an alternative fuel? You want to weigh in on that?
Well, I just think that there are better alternative fuels out there. I think in terms of water use, in terms of using food supply, I think that biodiesel made with algae is a better alternative. But one of the things actually that General Motors was hounding us about, and they were not fans of ours, is they had this huge campaign in California to push flex fuel vehicles.
Right,
and they'd spent millions on advertising. And at that time, there were only 3 ethanol pumps in the entire state. So they had this huge push, and everybody, and you see all these flex fuel vehicles on the road, and I would just talk to people at the fuel pump and go, hey, you know, you got a flex fuel car. And I said, you know, what do you run it on? And everyone said gasoline because there are no stations. And General Motors didn't really appreciate us pointing that out to them.
Just a little blip in the matrix there.
Yeah.
A PR campaign gone bad.
Well, these companies, that green to them is a PR statement.
Right.
I mean, they spend a lot of money making themselves look good and making the consumer feel good. But it doesn't always seem to work out.
No, it doesn't. And I want to point out, I'm a believer in buying locally. My mantra is support local, buy locally, go to local restaurants, blah, 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 blah. Some things you can't buy locally, especially you live here in Tucson, Arizona. I do want to point out, though, that for cars, there was the Green Police commercial on the Super Bowl. It was the third top-rated commercial for the Audi. And guess what? You can't get the car. It's sold out. I mean, so people are open to it. You cannot get. They stopped running the commercial because there was such a demand for it. There wasn't enough supply. So when they build up their supply, there'll be more commercials about the Green Police. And it was a very funny commercial. So humor works. Okay, let's talk about a little bit about the film, because I really want to promote what you're doing. And you're planning releases in Chicago, New York, L.A., which I hope I can come to. And I'm going to call you if I get to. Boston, Seattle, San Francisco, a lot of the big cities around the country. In October?
Well, we are right now working on and talking with a company that wants to do it. And we're just trying to figure out dates. And it would be 10 major cities. And then depending on how we did in those cities, they would branch out to other screens in other cities. And when that's done, we'll release on DVD. We have a foreign sales company, Cinema Vault Releasing.
I saw that for Australia and South Africa and the Middle East and France.
Yeah, we've already sold those territories, and we're waiting to get a report because they were at Cannes selling Gasol around the world there as well, and we're waiting to hear where. So things are moving forward. It's been, like I said, it's been a five-year journey, and it's something that Jeremy and I are very passionate about. And if people want to see clips of the film, if they want to check out our website, they can go to gasholemovie.com.
Which I did, and it's really good. But you have to put up there, follow me on Facebook, because you have a Facebook fan page.
Yeah, we have a Facebook, which is fairly new. You can go to Facebook and go to Gashole and become a fan. And
I did.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay.
And then, you know, we're keeping people updated on what's happening with the movie.
And what do you, I just have to, one of my biggest questions that we didn't get to, Philip called in and he talked about I believe he said, and wish we could get them both on, but Exxon is working on a genetically modified, like an algae, if what I understand, to use as an alternative fuel. And Philip, I know you're listening. If I misspoke, I'm sorry, but there are lots of talks about algae as an alternative fuel. It's a genetically modified alternative to corn, and Exxon's putting a lot of money into it. So I guess my question is, once the big companies figure out how to monetize this, will we see more of it?
Well, that's I believe so, and I think, you know, Jeremy and I are capitalists. And
I'm a capitalist. Love it.
Yeah, we're not opposed to people making money. I wouldn't mind these big companies making so much money if they were providing, you know, alternative fuels to the consumers. And I think when they can get their shareholders on board and they can make the transition, that I think they will do it.
Earnings per share. So what kind of statement are you getting involved? Are you getting deluged with questions about BP? Because even Mrs. Green, on the scale that I operate, people in Tucson and in this community said, what are you going to do about the oil spill? So we're putting a strategic plan to try to have a long-term response effort to do this. So is this, I mean, other than really highlighting the importance of a film like yours, what type of, do you see any like big opportunities for people come and a percentage going somewhere, or do you have a vision for that yet?
Well, we haven't really discussed that yet, but we would love it. We had such a great time in Tucson. We should bring the film out and put together an event and give a lot of the proceeds to the people in the Gulf.
I would love to do that. I'd love to have an independent film festival here. You also won an award, which I really do know about. I'd love to have movies that matter here more and more and more. We had your movie. We had Who Killed the Electric Car. We had Food, Inc. come. Sizzle, which was absolutely a riot, you know, on global warming. It was
right.
A comedy. So I love that. So I'd love to have a big festival here, and that would be great. We got to do a little bit of planning for that. Maybe 2011.
Right.
But that would be awesome, and we can help with Colleen, but maybe bring out hundreds of more people because of the timeliness of it. What's your read on BP? Is this going to is it possible that something like this could actually bring them down?
It could. It depends on if we hold them accountable. I mean, I knew from day one when they started giving estimates of how much was actually leaking in the Gulf. I knew that that was going to change. One thing I learned about making this movie, and maybe it's a pessimistic view, but usually they're going to not be so forthcoming with the truth.
Right.
Shocking. And so I knew it was worse than what they were leading on, and it's just it's appalling to me that they can have they can be drilling all over and not have some kind of a plan in case something like this happened.
Like not even a plan A, B, or C.
No.
It's just spewing out, and some of the things I've read, which are from people I respect from around the country, it's over for a lot of places along the Gulf in our lifetime. I mean, it's done. It's not like we can contain it, and marshlands will be destroyed. I hope it doesn't get up to the Everglades, but it's so far-reaching, and I just hope that there's a way for us to minimize it from this point on. But it's pretty bleak.
It is bleak, and if you look at the Exxon Valdez spill, that was, what, over 20 years ago?
Yes.
And it's still there. and it just doesn't, there's not as many people living there as there are in the Gulf. So I think it's going, it will be talked about for generations.
For generations. And I hope that you'll stay in touch with Mrs. Green's World. We'll do everything to promote your movie throughout the country. And I appreciate you taking the time to tune in, to call in. And everybody who's listening, come down to Hotel Congress tonight and do a little bit to help our efforts to send money to the Nature Conservancy for the oil spill. Scott, have a great weekend. Be safe out there. Happy Memorial Day. Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790, KNST.